interesting fact before we continue our conversation. Your business is missing an opportunity to be heard by a highly engaged audience.
Did you know podcasting is the most innovative way to advertise your business? And with us at the Bimbo Podcast, we can help you reach a local audience with a cost-effective, tailored advertising solution.
Interested? Email us at either Anthony or Jared at bimbopod.com or find us on Facebook.
Welcome one and all. You're listening to the best of Belfast podcasting with me, Jared.
And me, Anthony.
Anthony's very strange doing that intro.
One take and you got it done.
Very strange doing that intro. It's normally the other way about. So it's been like 2,241 days since I've seen you. It's been about a month, like, but...
I'm now expecting my fourth child, and I'm on my second marriage.
Jeez. It's mad the stuff you can get done during COVID, isn't it?
Isn't it?
Go ahead. There must be a wee slight delay in Zoom, so I'll try not to talk over you too much. I'm sorry in advance. What were you saying? I was going to say, have you got anything done? The way everybody says, I've had time of do this or do that.
Well, I paid someone to clean my carpets. So that's that done.
Check.
We redecorated Aiden's bedroom.
Check.
But 2 seconds. And we've ordered 3 posters, but only one of them's arrived. And I told Sinead to use my other email to get the Amazon Prime, you know, the free trial. She used her email, but she's already used the Prime. So you only get it once. So she paid $7.99, and they're still not here. So it's a complete waste.
Brother, you know, if you need anything Prime, just ask me. I can get it delivered to you.
Didn't even think. Well, we thought we were going to get away with it. But
manipulating systems.
Send
free trials. That's not an Amazon hack. Brought to you in the Bimbo Podcast.
Or now TV for a week's free trial. Not like Game of Thrones.
I'm really saying up to somebody. If you know the right people, you can just buy them with now TV accounts. 15 quid a year.
What do they do them as well?
A friend of mine has Disney Plus. Now TV, it's the Sky Sports and Movie package. But the problem with the Now TV one, it only works on one device.
Mm-hmm.
Normally people would share it. I don't even know who's Netflix I'm using at the minute. But Netflix of WWE, Disney Plus. Yeah. Just the way of the world. But you can get all them, man. There, I'll put you in touch with the guy if you want.
Cheers.
Disney Plus was £15 for 4 devices for a year.
Oh, that's lethal.
And it's worth it. Last night, I was on the phone, obviously speaking to mum and dad, checking in with them as I do. And we got talking somehow about Star Wars. Granny has never seen a Star Wars film.
None of them?
None of them. Not the original trilogy, not the new ones, not the Mandalorian, none of that. So I wanted to watch the Mandalorian and probably most of the newer ones I haven't seen. So I think we're going to start with episode 4, is it?
Yeah.
The original one?
Yeah.
So I'm going to make her watch them this weekend.
Well, very good. They got most of your time.
So, but other than that, I've changed from Sugar Free Boost, the Punch Power Boost. This podcast is not sponsored by Boost, but this one's the latest one.
The Punch, it's lovely. I quite like my fruity flavours, and that would be one of the ones I would go for. Either that or the citrus one.
But this one's sugar free, though. The citrus one isn't. I don't know.
Oh.
It's mango, passion fruit, and cranberry. Gives you incredible energy, a sensational taste. At an impossibly good price. Boost, you should be paying. Huh? Nobody else is going to be is a mutual friend of ours, an avid listener and supporter, who's raised a few issues that I'll get to with you in a second. But if you're in the Ballymena area, Dessert Co. So you can find them on Facebook at DessertCo.com. Lauren the Baker, her desserts are fantastic. Have you seen them?
No.
Yeah. I was an avid listener, and actually, while he's delivering on Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays and Sundays, he has been listening to our podcast and has sent me a few notes, Anto. He's not too happy. He's referring to you. Will you stop giving out spoilers? You've ruined too many shows by telling me to watch it or telling other people to watch it and then explaining everything. You've ruined Tiger King. You've ruined Bad Boys. You've ruined Dark Side of the Ring. That was the first one, he said. He also said, the next time you're speaking to Anto, he said Taboo was a great show. I think he was referring to the top 8.5 TV shows. He said, I have a use for you. He said you would enjoy that. He's smiling, Sean. I know this will be out in audio form, but he is giving it a smile. So I don't know. You can explain the context of that one for me if you wish. And he also complained in our top 8.5 TV shows that we missed out on certain shows. So if you haven't listened to the top 8.5, skip forward for about a minute or something just to make sure you don't see the ones that we missed. So Luther, Sherlock, The Office, Always Sunny in Philadelphia, Community, Band of Brothers, and Firefly, and he's so annoyed at it.
See the Band of Brothers, see war stuff, I'm not into it.
I think the point that he's missed is it's our top 8.5 TV shows.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's like, who gives a fuck about these TV shows? Maybe he does, but not us. And that's our show, so we say it like it is, the way we want it to be. Isn't that right?
In our opinion, Jared.
In our opinion. Can he not read the podcast that he's in? The title of the podcast, Sean, is Belfast, in my opinion. Not Ballymena, in Sean's opinion. You know what I mean?
While he's driving about doing deliveries for Dessert Coast.
Yeah. Apparently they give great portions, though, and it tastes delicious, apparently. He won't deliver to Belfast just yet. But when the word spreads, he's going to do it.
We'll get there. Do you know one show that I did watch there? And it was... I'm not going to say it was amazing, but it was intriguing. McMillions.
Right.
So, Sean, if you're listening, skip ahead a little bit here, Sean. It's basically about this guy who works for McDonald's. Or sorry, works for a security firm. You know the Monopoly game?
I was about to ask. This is on my watch list. So this is about the fraud in the Monopoly game?
So this correct.
Is, yeah, all right, could be. I haven't watched it yet, but I've seen a wee bit about it.
Very, very good. The only frustrating thing is you're sitting watching it and you keep going to yourself, how did he do it? How did he do it? They check the cups, they check the thing that the fries come in and stuff, and they aren't telling you about it and starting to drive you crazy, but watch it.
Hi, but do they tell you?
You have to watch it and find out.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
So, do you know what I've noticed? I don't know if I said this or if it was just in our WhatsApp group. See the amount of shows, particularly American shows, right?
Yeah.
See when they walk in the room or they open the door.
Yeah.
Right? They do not close doors. Mate, I swear to God, I don't know if it's just this lockdown, but I was actually going to have a fucking screaming match at the TV. I was so annoyed. And then because I kept bringing it up, it was annoying to me.
Mate, all the doors are always open for people to walk in. And then they don't close them behind them, but then you look away and you look back and they're closed.
It's like, but it's front doors and everything. Like, you can understand a door in a house, like your living room, but a fucking front door, a back door, they never close doors. Maybe it's just because we live in Ireland and it's so cold, we're used to closing doors.
Maybe our neighbours just aren't as trusting as others.
Could be that.
I remember when I was a kid, and I had family that lived in Dublin. We used to go down to Dublin. And they used to leave and their front doors open. That used to be a thing where people left their front doors open. And it wasn't strange for you. Maybe it was strange for your adult neighbours to come into your house, but like your neighbourhood kids to come in like for your kids or whatever, you know. Like it wasn't strange. And it wasn't like locking your door wasn't necessarily a first thought the way it should be.
Well,
it is now.
Before this podcast, you'd say you're ready to go, so I said to myself, I'll go to the toilet and do my pee-pee and my bubbles. And the lock on my ensuite door is a wee bit dodgy, and the fucking, you know, the wee twisty bit, it come off. But see the stick bit that the wee twisty bit's on, it fucking pushed
through. Oh, the push in. Aunt sent me a picture because I was waiting on him to do this podcast, and he sent me a picture, and literally he was like, "Oh, I'm locked in the bathroom," and it was all of his door hole.
My door hole, but thankfully Sinead was in the house, and
I did offer to come around, by the way.
You did.
I just love it. Yeah. Like 6 minutes later, you wrote to me out.
Right.
The bathroom for 6 minutes with your own bubble smell is not good.
Do you know who? What I thought had happened? I thought that goddamn bitch, Carol Baskin, came in and fucking wrecked my door on me.
Carol fucking... She has ruined 2020, you know?
She really
all
has.
All her fault. But
it really is.
The card and the memes may be worth it.
The card what?
Have you seen the greeting cards or birthday cards and stuff with all the Carol and stuff on it? I actually got my mum one there as well. And all the memes and stuff... They're just worth it. And then everybody blames Carol Baskin.
Do you see she's going to get control of the Tiger Zoo? Do you know that?
Oh, yeah, no. It's my dad sent me. What did he say? That bitch Carol Baskin got the zoo.
From your dad. Got the zoo.
It's how you know when it's bad whenever your dad sends it and goes, here, that bitch. It's not even just the person. It's just that bitch Carol Baskin.
Bet your current husband's probably shitting himself in case he ends up with Tiger Feet.
Apparently, she had two husbands that died and disappeared.
Yeah, it brings that up on the show, but only one of them had money.
But two of them died and disappeared, and there's a third husband. Fucking man, he must love the thrill of it.
Madness.
I must have missed that. I knew obviously one, but. Two husbands dead and disappeared. Fucking Carol Baskin. So, while you're looking for your segue, have you been up to much? What have you been doing to get your time in lockdown or in my days? Because obviously all the TV shows are starting to dry up. Although apparently there is.
I'm podcasting out, right? The only thing that's keeping me going is two of the guys MC podcasting who were on the show. They have their top five conspiracies and another one with a psychologist. And I'm actually looking forward to listening to them too. But I've listened that much and I'm starting to watch more. So I went through Game of Thrones probably in about 10 days, which was very good. And the end of it is a bit frustrating because I agreed with certain parts of it, and then the majority of people are like, no, blah, blah, blah. But the justification for certain parts, I understand. And then other parts, I'm just like, said person is a dick. But have you started watching it?
I haven't. I've said before, it's just one of those programs that I don't know if it's because it was so blown up here. I think I hate, although it's probably the wrong thing because obviously there's a lot of TV shows that I watch that are quite popular, but
you felt like people were forced you to watch it?
Yeah, I didn't want to jump on the bandwagon for the sake of jumping on the bandwagon.
That's why I avoided it for so long, but I enjoyed it. They do good cliffhangers. Right? The only thing is, see, because obviously I binge watch it, you don't get that effect of a cliffhanger as much because you're getting the extensive.
Yeah, the best cliffhanger you can do is Prison Break. Every time you think it's about to go one way, it flips into the other way.
Carl Boston got a hold of the script.
Carl Boston.
Do you know what I've been doing? I've been trying to get out a wee bit more now that you're sort of allowed to. And there's the guy who fixed my shoulder, CM Therapy Sports, on Twitter, or not Twitter, Instagram, if you want to go and follow him. But Kieran does a lot of cold shock therapy. And I just messaged him, like, where's this, where's that? Just because the pictures and stuff he was putting up like class. But
it does look classically. The water and all the...
Yeah. He was basically like swimming at waterfalls, jumping into the sea, just anywhere where there's loads of water, but the water is freezing. And the cold shock therapy is just really, really good. It sort of helps you clear your head a wee bit in the sense that you're jumping into water that is freezing cold, and you literally, see if your head was melted or whatever, and you need to get out, make sure that you can swim. But go up, he told me a few places, so you've got, there was one, Brompton Rocks. So if you take me on Brompton Road, Bangor, it'll bring you to, it's just like the end of the wee cul-de-sac, but it's literally
between Brompton Rocks.
Rocks, yeah. It's between Helms Bay and the Bangor, the back end of Bangor Picky Park. You can, I think you can, it's all like linked by a coastway. And how you know where it is, you'll see like a ladder going into the water. That's how you know where it is. Now, if the tide's completely in, you may not see the ladder, but it's amazing. I've done that. I've done Glen O Waterfall, which was good. Now, there's not much walking at Glen O. Literally, you go up in the waterfall, it's just there. But the only thing with there, it forces you to walk in because there's nowhere to jump in. So you sort of get that, you know, like the build-up, and then you have to throw yourself in. So... done that. I went up a good bit of Slieve Donner. I had Aidan and Sinead, and Aidan with his asthma and stuff, and Sinead. I don't know how far we got, but I'd say we probably got over halfway, and then walked back down again. We found, like, see when you go up the wee stream path, there's like wee rock pools that are deep enough to jump in, and went in them. They were class. Every Glen Arriff Waterfall's class. It's really good. And there's plenty of places to jump in as well. Went there yesterday. Brought Big Gary up and his kids. And yeah, those four places. Of a few more, there's done Cervic up the north coast. I think it's up near Bushmills. It's way, way, way on up near Coleraine. So
that must be up near the Devil's Way, is it?
Yeah, that's exactly where it is. Going to try and go up there, but I have a few things on this weekend. Going to go over and see my daddy. Saturday, going round to Big Gary's house for socially distance drinks, because I don't think I could sit in this house for another weekend. But I've also just tea swimming in the sea. See, just because it's so cold. Would recommend that. Obviously, if you're not a strong swimmer, you need to be very careful. But I brought Aidan done the Glen O Waterfall, the Brompton Rocks, and the Rock Pool in Slieve Donner. He didn't do the Glen O Waterfall. God, I hope he didn't get traumatized. So I'll give him a break about that. And it's just unreal. You get in, it's freezing, you flap, you swim, you relax. And see, once you get out, see the sensation on your body?
The tingle?
It's almost like, Yeah, it's like pins and needles over your body, but it's such a class feeling. Because I always thought to myself, why would you want to jump into like an ice bath or whatever, or stuff like that? And once you do it, you go, right, I get it. It's really what I am
doing. It's supposed to, I think the whole thing, I don't even know if this is even right, but I'm assuming that it's to do with the shock to your system must get parts of your body working.
Correct.
Whatever working that don't normally, because it does, a lot of athletes and stuff would use it.
Yep.
You know. So
Brendan done it. Didn't he done like some cryo place?
I think he went to CM Sports Therapy as well. And yeah, I think he's done all the cryo stuff. I think he's done that underwater training and all too. You know, the ever see the stuff that looks mad and where they're like running underwater and.
Do you know how that all started?
It was something to do with somebody who, sorry, you can tell me in a second, was it something to do with somebody who was sore, had brittle bones, or couldn't take the impact of it on their joints or something, so they figured out
other Muhammad Ali.
Was it?
Muhammad Ali done it as a spoof. Right? I forget he was going to fight, but to say it to him. This is your biggest fight. How are you going to do it? I would imagine it was against George Foreman probably, and he says, this, and they were asking him how he's so quick and stuff, and the way he used to do that rope-a-dope. But what he used to do, or what he done, he says, train underwater, he says, see, because it's so hard to move under the water, it means that by holding my breath longer, I'm better at pacing myself, and I don't get tired out as much, and because of the resistance under the water and everything, it makes me quicker when I'm not. He invited, I'm going to say ESPN, somebody to do a photo shoot, and he got into a swimming pool, and he went under the water, and he was pretending to fight a box underwater. It was a complete bullshit story, and everybody bought it, and now fucking people are starting to do forms of underwater resistance.
Honestly, the setups I've seen for, I think, watched the documentary and Conor McGregor might have been doing it. And it was proper, like, air pumped into the tank, into the mouth guard in the tank and all, and fucking proper, like, going at it, mad. Yeah.
I'll try and see if Kieran from CM Therapy Sports will come on. Do we talk about it?
I do. It'd be interesting to hear, because, I mean, be amazing to see what his thoughts are on all the people who said, like myself, that they would probably get fit and try and lose a bit of weight during lockdown and then haven't. But in fairness, I am working 40 hours a week now, so from home.
From home in the comfort of your own home.
Can't talk about it though, I'm under NDA, guys, so can't talk about it, don't ask me.
But you can't make people stay at home, can't you?
I can give you a letter to stay at home, yes.
You have the power to take people's liberty away.
The power.
Speaking of getting your liberty taken away, Diego Coffey got smacked with a 6-month suspended sentence for tax fraud in Spain.
In Spain? Is that the same that Messi and Ronaldo were getting done for?
It's the exact same thing. I think whatever way he tried to embezzle his money and avoid paying tax in Spain, they're like, damn it.
So,
there's a £500,000 fine, €500,000 fine.
Any wonder, because tax men are fucking cunts, like, fuck them, fuck the tax man. I mean, the amount of money they've got off me this year already is sickening.
I know.
You know, could you imagine earning it? Like, I know that they're on a ridiculous
amount. Well, tell us how much you earn.
I know they earn a ridiculous amount of money per week, and it's an obscene amount, but it's, you have to remember, it's a short-term career, realistically, unless you're super famous. It's a short-term career, so they have to make their money during that time, and as long as they're smart with it, frugal with it, it'll last them, you know. But when you generally retire at like 35 to 40, and then you have another 40 to 50 years of life, you know, stretch. But they fall into the super tax bracket. I mean, it's not like you get that tax back in 10 years' time. It's not like they pay less tax in 10 years. They pay tax on whatever they're earning in 10 years. You know? So, and you're getting around, when you're earning $50,000, you're getting $25,000 tax. $50,000 a week, you're probably getting like $20,000 to $25,000 tax. It's heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm. Really is. But sure, if they're smart with it, well, a lot of NBA and NFL players, they go broke within 2 or 3 years of retiring.
I mean, it's because it's like Floyd Mayweather. It's so used to having so much money that they don't know what to do with it, to spend and to spend and to spend. And then when they're not earning it and they're still spending, or like Michael Jackson had the exact same problem.
Yeah.
You spend so much money and you get so used to a certain way of life that you can't come out of it, you can't stop it, or everybody disappears. That it all goes away, it all dwindles. So to have to come back and do one more fight or one more tour or something.
Something.
Like the footballers and stuff don't get that one more either. So I'm sure that's when you see them all hitting the drink and all, and Gaza and people like him, you know. I mean, hi Gaza, still a few quid about him.
Hi Gaza, what?
Still has a few quid, I don't know.
He would be fairly basic, like. You know, he's probably like Carrie Katona, you know.
But he wouldn't have been there for the Premier League. The Premier League football's probably not, you know. I think coronavirus will have a big impact on the way people earn, like in the Lexus sport, because I think everybody's realized that there may be as much as sports get out of your head free card thing, you know, gets away for that moment in time. People realize that celebrity and sports star status maybe isn't the be all end all. Maybe it is people like that work for the NHS and stuff that need a bit more recognition and maybe shouldn't be getting $20,000 a year when there's people getting $20,000 a week. You know?
Yeah. Definitely.
Can only hope. Definitely. I'm trying to think of the words to say, but it's like I love movies, man. I love movies. I love sport. But the one thing that made a difference to me in my life is the car that I got in hospital when I was in hospital. So I would much rather see less movies and less big productions and see people like that. I'm sure there's people that don't think that way or don't see the benefit of it, but your health is your wealth. Like it's crazy. And other people, like, you want the people that are going to look after you, your family, to be paid well.
Yeah.
You know.
The longer they are, the more likely they are to look after you.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, I know that when I was in hospital, the nurses were probably underpaid. But there was like two, maybe three nurses that were constantly between them, but constantly with me between them.
Mm.
Obviously, I was quite ill. It was an intensive care and stuff and all that. But there was one, not that it matters, there was one white nurse and two Filipino nurses that were always, you know, they're always around me and always making sure I was okay, making sure I was happy and upbeat and not letting myself get down. And I went back a couple of months after getting out of hospital and stuff, after I was a bit more myself. I went back and visited them, brought them down gifts and stuff just to say thanks. But I remember all their names and stuff, which is hard to do when you're seeing so many people and you're in such a state.
Definitely. By the way, I'm still waiting on the apology for the last podcast. Tell me episode 5 of The Last Stance.
I don't know, it was like episode 7 or 8.
7 it was, yeah. You said it was episode 5.
No, but you've already watched the one after. If you're wrong, go back and listen.
No.
You were definitely saying of the episode that it was at. I apologize if that was the case, but then what did you make of the last? I think you finished The Last Dance now. It's been a while.
Yeah.
What did
it was class.
It's one of those, it's definitely what, like, there's been a lot of claims since that some of the stories are spoofed. They obviously favor Michael Jordan stuff, but and that didn't happen the way it happened. Even though the fucking people saying these stories were in the documentary, it doesn't make sense to me. But
yeah,
I
definitely think he was a dick. But
here, did you see him that breaking down part whenever they said, basically, you're a dick? How did it feel to be the dick? He had to be, like, for them to be great, he had to be that way. He had to have that mentality.
Definitely.
And actually, another one of our listeners got in touch with me, actually, and actually suggested, so I'll ask you now, just when we're, because I don't think we could do, well, we probably could do an entire podcast on it, but let's say it about sport in general, so like, could we talk about like our great teams or great players and stuff, but I think we should actually talk about individuals, you know, who transcends sport. So Michael Jordan obviously transcended the NBA and Nick and took them from one place to another. You've got like say what, Tiger Woods, you know,
McGregor.
Conor McGregor. But I mean, you have it, you have people who transcend teams in football. So you, like, for me, Man United weren't going to be Man United without Roy Keane. You know?
Yeah.
Or Celtic weren't going to be Celtic without Henrik Larsson. Or, you know, I'm leaving the gap here for the Arsenal, for the Invincibles for you. So, who?
Well,
without who are Arsenal not invincible?
Pardon?
Without which player? So, Arsenal had the Invincibles. What year was that?
02. 03, 04.
So, without which player are Arsenal not invincible? Obviously, it's a team thing, but there's somebody that's keeping, like, there's somebody as the Jordan, as the MVP. Like, you've got your Pippins, you've got your Rodmans, but there has to be a Jordan.
Would be Thierry Henry, but the person who I think would be the MVP, and I think a lot of Arsenal fans would say this, for that invincible team, was Gilberto Silva.
Right. So
Gilberto was the man, but he was an unsung hero. He was quiet. He wasn't like a Jordan. Thierry Henry would have been the equivalent.
He's the Pippin.
He's a Pippin.
I started listening to a podcast, again, recommended by one of our listeners. Recommended me this one here called The Dream Tapes.
The Dream Tapes?
It's about the Olympic team, or the greatest ever NBA or ever team form. So that's what it's about.
For the Barcelona 92?
Yeah, I think it's that one anyway. And one of the first episodes, the guy that does it, it's. The guy who was in the, I think he was in the Jordan documentary, Jack McCallum, like he's the guy who wrote the book about Jordan and stuff.
Right.
But he literally said, anytime I went out, he said, I have to do a story on Scottie Pippen. He's too good, I have to do a story on him. And he says, and then Jordan would have like a 50-point game or a 60-point game. He's like, the story's not as good as he is, the story's not there, the hype's with Michael. He says, that's why, you know. He was a
showstopper. Do you know what struck me? Now, maybe it's, now that you've said some of it is tall tales, but see the amount of people who said something to him and then he went out and went on a rampage.
That mentality is, but it was even to the point where he was making stuff up.
Like he, in his own head?
He said in the documentary, he was thinking he would have put something in his head like, one, he said he hated me. Even though he didn't say it, but if he kept telling himself that he said he hated me, he had a point to prove with him, you know?
Yeah. And he was just so ruthless and so driven. Although, do you know one thing I didn't like? Whenever they tried to say he had a gambling problem.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I think the context of it was great in the end, where they said £10,000 bet, $10,000 bet to him is like us playing with a tenner.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this guy owns an NBA team. He owns right now he owns a billion. I think they're over $1 billion franchise because of the money they get from NBA. The team might be only worth a couple hundred million, but the actual business is worth billion. You know.
Who's this? Jordan owns part of the Bulls.
He owns Charlotte Hornets. I think it is. But he bought them for like bargain money. Michael Jordan, NBA team. Let me see.
You know what? I'm not ashamed to say it, but I'm at the cusp of going by myself an NBA top after watching that.
Would you buy a retro?
I would buy it if the price is right.
See, I think that. Sorry, I'm just looking up his Wikipedia. Yeah, so the Charlotte Hornets, he's the principal owner of the Charlotte Hornets. I'm near sure they were going bankrupt or something, bought them for like 100 million, and now they're worth like a billion, you know, something stupid like that. I'm raging I don't have it now because back in the day. There's actually if you go on Andy Town News and look up Jerry Cunningham, the way you can search pictures on one of their websites, you'll see.
Well, the court case, no.
Funny enough, somebody was asking me about that. Probably won't tell them that story. but there would be a picture of me playing basketball. Remember youth sport? Remember youth sport?
No. Continue anyway.
I had this. Do you remember? I'm terrible when he was on, especially. Big guy used to come in. I mean, he was an African American gentleman. I don't want to. The times are real fucking twisted at the minute where you have to be.
Yeah.
You see? He used to come in the park center. Big tall guy. Went out with Rachel's friend.
Friend, yeah.
He was the basketball coach for youth sport. He was a big gent then, he took the basketball thing. But anyway, the picture now you can use me in a Bryant jersey. I was at the Lakers, the purple and gold Bryant jersey. Wish I had it now. Wouldn't fit, but I wish I had it.
It's amazing. Did you see the boy who went on? What did he do? I think it was on Lab Bible or Sport Bible.
Sneakers?
What?
This is about the sneakers? No?
No. He went to all the charity shops, right? And like markets. And he bought all the old football tops. Right? He gave himself a budget. I think he gave himself a budget of 45 or 60 quid.
Right.
Right? And he bought them, made sure they were all real, and he sold them on retro football tops, right? And he didn't spend all his money. I think he spent like £30 or £35, and he made a profit of over £200 on all these tops.
Brilliant. I mean, that's
just going to the charity shops and getting them for next to nothing, and then someone was selling like 60 quid.
That's what entrepreneurship is, you know.
Mm.
He's helping charity by actually buying them, and he's flipping a profit and giving it to somebody who obviously has a few quid spur or people looking a gift for someone. So, I mean, everybody, it's win-win for everybody, and he's just the middleman making 15, 20 quid a top, maybe more. I must actually put all my old Celtic tops on eBay. Got loads of them. Got one that says God sent on the back and everything. So,
see, the football is going to return 17th, and all 92 games are going to be shown.
Football's already. Who is your Bundesliga team? Are everybody adapting the team? I'm at for Dortmund myself, but
Just because I like pronouncing it, Mönchengladbach.
Mönchengladbach.
But I watched one of the games, right? And I said, now, obviously they're speaking German, but you can hear absolutely everything.
Yeah.
They didn't have that in the Premier League. All the cursing.
And the will when it comes back. These empty stadiums are atrocious.
Well, they were talking about putting in the sound of
crowds.
Was it one of the crowds from one of the FIFA games?
Right.
But like the way some of them players get on, the effing and blinding, you know.
I wonder if they want to do that because for us there'd be no language barrier.
Correct. There would either have to be a severe time delay, which fucks up your gambling then.
Yeah.
Or they would have to turn off the mix around the side of the stadium.
The picture watching a silent football game with just commentary. Oh, be awful. Like, I mean, WWE and AEW were the first two to do it, and it takes the product from being so OTT and so like has that wow factor to just Jesus, this is sometimes hard to watch, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes the emotion that a crowd brings.
That's what it's about.
You might see some teams benefit from it because the whole thing about being in football crowds having the 12th man and stuff. I've definitely been at games where it has to be the will of the support. It has to be the noise from supporters that has spurred a team on to do something that they shouldn't be able to do.
Well, Arsenal should be all right then.
You're fans. You hear Pepsi drop anyway. You're no different. all of them leave before the game is over. So play the last 10 minutes as usual with no fans.
Six fans. They have the six fans from AFTV.
It's. I don't know what. Do you think crowd noise is going to be a thing that works? Do you think that'll make a big difference? All right, it'll block out some effluent being, but.
But you have to remember all these new games, right? So there's 92 games left to be played. Sky's getting 64, and then Amazon are getting 4, BBC's getting 4. First time BBC will ever show Premier League games live, and I think the remainder are going to be 10, it's about 20. These games are going to be on from 12 p.m. to 8 p.m. kickoffs. So it's a whole range. Obviously, the 8 p.m. ones, you could probably get away with the watershed, but surely they'll be found by Ofcom for all the swearing. Because, do you know what I've noticed? See, if you watch UFC, right? See, because you were watching it from like 3 to 6, half 6 or whatever. See, between 3 and 5, if there's cursing, you'll hear it. See, once it's after 5.
Is that when the cutoff period is? Is it?
Yep. So.
I should say, see, every time, it's always after 9 p.m. Once it's after 9 p.m., once, you know?
Yeah. But they would have to do something. You would imagine. I mean, there's only so much you can do to say to players, look, they're going to hear everything here. You know, what do you then do? Do you start finding players? Do teams get found? Because if you're in the heat of the moment,
do you remember who was it? Rio Ferdinand's brother and
Anton and John Terry?
Aye, Jesus, there was no crowd there, you know it all.
But circling back there, see where you were talking about, I said the AFTV, the fans day, right? I follow AFTV on, so it's Arsenal Fan TV, and obviously it's one of the biggest football club. Like fan, don't even know what I'm trying to say here. One of the biggest fan TV shows in the world.
Most of the biggest TV shows in the world, yeah.
So, obviously, with the way they all got on, like troops and all that, and the posts that they put up, a couple of posts on the AFTV social media, like on Twitter and Instagram, right? And one of them was, there was four photos. There was Ozil, Pepe, Lacazette, Aubameyang, and they were like, if one of these has to go, who is it? Right? And I went in and looked at the comments, and automatically, you know it's going to be Ozil. One, because it's money, right? Yeah. He's on $350,000 a week. But see, if that player, a lot of the Arsenal fan or players actually don't mind the AFTV, right? Like, Aubameyang's a big fan of them and stuff, but they see that stuff. So if Mesut Ozil goes on, he has a turbulent relationship with Arsenal, with the fans, and sees that all the fans are going, yeah, we would like him, right? That's going to cause that he could turn around and go, do you know what? Fuck yourselves. I'm getting $350,000 a week. I'm going to sit in my hole for the next year and then leave for fuck all.
Yeah.
But that's what happened to Nicolas Anelka years ago. Anelka was fucking on fire. And he took the hump, right? Because he was a top goal scorer. And he didn't get voted by the Arsenal fans as player of the year.
Right.
And he fucking took his ball and went to Real Madrid.
Something happened right now.
Yeah. So if Arsenal stick rigidly to the financial fair play rules, and if you have our biggest paid player who's going to stay, and say at the cost of him staying, we have to get rid of Aubameyang,
yeah,
or Lacazette, or someone else, and you then go, well, why is he, was that post necessary?
Worth doing, yeah.
You know, because look at the way Granit Xhaka was at the start of the season. He come off the pitch and he told the fans to go and fuck themselves.
Yeah.
All right. Hector Bellerin. The AFTV done something on Hector Bellerin and he didn't take very well to it.
The more you say that, the more I think back to the amount of Arsenal players that have had, but they have left on bad terms. Maybe not with the club, but with fans.
And I actually just went to myself. I thought back, because the guy who runs it, Robbie, was, I know he has the best of intentions. He was on TalkSport, I think it was before Christmas or just after Christmas. And Simon Jordan is, he's a bit like Piers Morgan. He can be very irritable, but he is right so, he's right more often than not, whether you want to admit it or not. But they had Robbie on, and Simon Jordan said to him, he says, you're causing more destruction at your club and more negativity than you are positivity. Because, yes, you might do all this nice stuff, but not everybody remembers that. You know, you say AFTV, and you think of all the Arsenal fans shouting and get Wenger out. But that's where the whole Wenger out thing came from. You know, that's how it got its legs.
Yeah.
You know, there's another example. So I ended up just unfollowing them, and I thought, I can't.
Yeah, because you can see the other side of it, where it's great as a supporter to have passion for a club and want your club to do better and want people to succeed. It's the best part of supporting any team or any person, but there is obviously a section of that is a huge negative impact on things, you know. And the fact that you were able to see that and actually explain it quite well. I'm not somebody who follows Arsenal Fan TV, but it makes sense. What you're saying makes 100% sense, as in you saying their statements have impact and that this is the result of that. And was there a need for it? And that's just the world, isn't it? It's just, was there a need for it? That's, yeah, nail on the head, man, nail on the head.
And, you know, it's all for clickbait.
Yeah, it's all just to get that one like, that one reaction. I mean, we do it too. I don't think we're negative by any means, but we do it in that, of course, we want this pod. We post on our Facebook pages and Instagram pages, but it's to get the name of the podcast out too. It's not just to get a like on that. It's so that somebody maybe clicks onto that and maybe goes, what is this? And sees it's a podcast and clicks into it. That's the hope, you know.
Yeah.
But like our poster, did you see the ones yesterday and the amount of people that shared the post of Mr. and Mrs. McFly or the Mermaid?
Do you know what? It took me about 2 hours to click on who it was. I was looking at it going, I know this photo. I can't fucking place who it is. And then the penny dropped.
Wow, it was a good one. The people that started, I mean, God love them, because when they shared them, the people that on their own profiles were hitting the laugh on the post that they'd shared, were hitting the laugh and then commenting going, you know, that's a prank, or you know, that's a wind up, or,
yeah,
you know, but hopefully that one or two of them clicks have now clicked on or listening to this right now. So if you are, thanks, subscribe, rate and review.
See, just speaking, finish up with this, unless you have anything to get off your chest. There's photos circulating about, right, on social media. It's a photo of Donald Trump holding the Bible.
Right.
He's holding it with his right hand, he's holding it in the air, like, as you know, like palm facing, as you would see his thumb on the palm of his hand with the books in it. But people are putting up beside a picture of Hitler doing the same thing.
Right.
See the photo of Hitler? It is photoshopped. That original photo. See, if I'll send you a link here, because how I found out about it was exhibit, the rapper, he actually put up saying that photo of Hitler's fake. Hitler's actually like walking and he's like waving the crowd. Yeah. He has his hand open, waving to them. But the photoshopped the book in, and people are putting this beside the photo of Donald Trump. And it's amazing how things get so much construed. And see, whenever you see the actual original and you see the book, you actually think to yourself, how fucking stupid was I not to notice that? Because the book isn't even the same colour.
That's it, man. Sometimes what the eye see doesn't mean it's the truth, you know?
Yeah.
Just touching on Donald, I know I've been a supporter of some of the things that Donald Trump's done. That doesn't mean I support everything that he does, by the way, just to make that point clear. We've pretty much discussed everything that I wanted to discuss. Big Brother's coming back for, like, well, it's not back as in Big Brother. They're doing like a 10-episode series, starts on the 14th of June. With Ryland and Davina. Don't care. What about Love Island? Do you care about that? Because instead of Love Island, UK.
Have you seen the Australian version?
Yeah.
Why is Davina and Ryland? You know, why is that girl Emma something not hosting on it?
I think Davina was the original Channel 4. It must be a Channel 4 production as opposed to Channel 5, maybe.
Maybe.
Could be that she's under contract with BBC as well. Could be. Probably just a bit, because it's like a nostalgia thing, it's probably the reason more why it's...
I'll probably end up watching it.
Yeah, what else are you doing, you know? We talked about Last Dance, so I mean, next on my watch list will be, yeah, that McMillions. Apparently Space Force on Netflix is meant to be quite funny. Haven't started watching it. And then the Jeffrey Epstein, Filthy Rich, apparently is quite good. So I'll probably pick up on those. And I miss talking about Lionel Messi when we're talking about great sports people. I had Messi wrote down. Do you know in the first 10 minutes of a football match will be the time where Messi's quietest? And what he's actually doing is walking around the pitch, observing how the players move and where they go to, and watching for their tactics so that he can think of ways, obviously, to exploit them. Yeah. This is another thing of a great, sometimes it's not about. Sometimes it's not about the preparation, but maybe in the moment, you know, how you can change the game in the moment.
That's why my favourite Arsenal player is not Thierry Henry or Patrick Vieira or Tony Adams.
And who's your favourite Arsenal player?
Dennis Bergkamp.
Dennis Bergkamp.
The vision he had, he could see a goal three passes away, and he knew where he was going to pick the ball, where he was going to move to, and where the end product was going to be. You know, in that last stand, they always talk about that triangle?
Yeah.
Dennis Bergkamp was like that.
He was the one running it, was he?
Pretty much. See, if you watch Man City and Liverpool, they both run that triangle system.
Yeah.
They always have someone.
It must be one of those things that is translatable in other sports, you know. There's a version of it. It's like, you know, the way, like, as stupid as, well, customer satisfaction runs through every part of retail. So, but it's measured the exact same way. So there must be something that, like that, that translates over.
Definitely.
Any plans for the week ahead yourself?
Like I said, I'm gonna go over and see my daddy. I'm gonna have a social distance drink on Saturday, provided the weather stays okay.
Apparently, since your statement, I've been a cider drinker. My vodka has went untouched since March. Please. It's wet. I'm sure it was sending when I was social distance drinking. I was sending pictures of all the different ciders I was trying.
That's what you need to carb off, mixing ciders. Fuck yourself up the next day.
I do really like the one I've got in the fridge. What do you call it?
The one from Little? Osaka or something?
No, not the Strama one.
Recordedly?
No, forget the name of it for whatever reason.
Rockshore.
Rockshore Cider, yes.
Rockshore Cider.
It's really light, but lovely. It's nice and crisp and it's cold.
Lovely. They do small bottles, but they only do them with 4-packs, and they're not like same as you.
Dive bombing to them. Get sent a picture.
But they only do 4-pack bottles. I messaged them and said, are you going to do like the big cases? And they said, no, they've no plans to.
Right.
And I told them, when you walk in, the bottled beer takes up most of the shelf space. I actually felt like I was trying to pitch something to them. When you go into an office, the amount of shelf space is taken up by 20 packs of bottles of beer. Why would you not do that with your cider?
Yeah.
But they want to stick with the 4-packs?
I know, I'm sure you all probably thought it was stinking, but that Carlin said that we were drinking in Prague was, I thought it was lovely.
That was very tame.
That was probably why. It was really new to me, you know?
Yeah. Any other stuff from the fans? Or?
I think pretty much covered it all. Did I tell you that we had suggestions to do our top 5 comedy shows, our top 5 horror shows, and top 5 games, as in like retro games? So people wanted to know what the conversation was, like, what was your favorite games growing up? So like, was it Metal Gear Solid? Yeah. Was it Crash Bandicoot? Was it Zelda? And then I offended them by going, what the fuck, Zelda? But they got quite offended, you know, but they knew I was taking the piss with them. No, that's pretty much all that's coming in. So, I mean, if anybody listening does have suggestions, it would be great to hear, or if you have questions we can give answers to, it'll be awesome.
Or if there's something that you would like us to try and get on, if you have a contact to that person, far away, because I've tried to get a few MMA people on, and... One of them, if I had tried harder about a year ago, I probably would have got her on. But
I know, the amount of times you'd say that was sort of went, yeah, we should, and then it just didn't work out. And now look at her, she's it's flying.
Ireland.
And have you heard about this thing where if you do like accounting, that I'll explain later, but when you do a countdown on a podcast, it now plays a random podcast music. So if you go 5, 6, 7, and it goes about a show we made about a bunch of doctors and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said he's so, this theme tune plays every time you say and that word. So if you go 5, 6, 7, stories about a show we made about a bunch of doctors and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. So apparently this is a thing now, so we can't say those words no more.
2 seconds, hold on.
No worries. Oh. So Ando's just away. God knows what he's doing now because he's just left the room. But we've pretty much talked about everything already, so filler's going to be a wee bit tough. But a TV show that we missed out on, or that Ando spoiled as well, was Dark Side of the Ring. So. It's well worth a watch if there's any wrestling fans out there or anybody who wants to know the story behind Chris Benoit, or the most recent one I think was Owen Hart, which I haven't watched yet, so that's definitely on my watch list. And hopefully all is good with everybody, and hopefully you can send in some suggestions about what else we can talk about. NBA 2K20 is free if you have an Xbox Game Pass as well. Highly recommend it. If you have a friend who claims to be like amazing at it, you can play them in like a best of 7 series and stuff and create your own trophy. So I beat Sean Taylor, the guy who was talking about at the start. I beat him in our first one, and we'll not talk about the second one just yet, but beat him in the first series of 7. I think it was 4-2. It's turned out into a wee competition, something else to do during lockdown, you know. We're back with that though. What about you, though?
Not too bad.
I did.
What were you saying there? You can't say 5, 6, 7, 8.
No. About a bunch of doctors and nurses and a gentleman who loved to hate. I said he's a story. So gather around. 5, 6, 7, 8. About a show we made about a bunch of docs and nurses and a janitor who loved to hate. I said he's got stories that we all should know. So gather around to hear our... yeah, that's one of the podcasts I'm listening to at the minute. It's called Fake Doctors, Real Friends with Zach and Donald. So the Scrubs one was telling
me. Fake what?
Fake Doctors, Real Friends. But I think, I don't know, have you ever watched Scrubs like properly?
No. Never.
I think I'll stick it on the USB for you. A backup of my copy of it. That's why every time you say 5, 6, 7, 8, but yes, I have certainly had enough of your shit. That's really good to see you, man. Been a while.
Good.
I'm going to catch up soon. And if we stay on after for a minute, I'll catch up with you as well.
Sweet. Peace out.
Peace out.